You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 68. It's been a little while, but we're all still standing.
I didn't realize we were still doing this.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul took a hiatus and worked, and I took a hiatus and worked, and I think you've been working too. Everybody's been busy. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was.
I'll tell you what, we just had one hell of a pre-show.
Yeah. Whew. We're all fired up.
I'm exhausted now.
I'm all done. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. At least I got that out of my system. I feel better now.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, it's been a long time since the three of us got to really let it out. You know, and this is like, you guys are familiar with Festivus, right? That was like basically our airing of grievances, but it was with everybody else that we have a problem. you know, it's good to end the year getting it off your chest, you know, so that you can go into the next new year.
Yeah, fresh. Ready to get angry at more people.
That's right. That's right. You need a whole new list of people to hate when you start the next new year. So, but yeah, Paul, what have you been up to? I feel like, you know, it's been a while since anybody heard from you on social media.
Yeah.
You know, have you just been minting NFTs and investing in various
not
cryptos?
Not only have I been doing that, I'm also in the metaverse.
Really?
I just bought.
Oh, so you've just been in the metaverse.
I just bought. I've actually only been in the metaverse. I've been doing. I've been welding in the metaverse. I have a Fairfield Steelworks actually has a full business set up in the metaverse.
Wow!
Nice.
Wow. I just bought a house in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So.
Did you bring your Harley into the metaverse,
no.
or you get something cooler, like a jet bike?
I have a custom. Yeah, I bought a. I'm not going to bring a Sportster into the metaverse when I could get a Road Glide or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. CVO.
What did some idiot just do in the metaverse? Did somebody buy something or sell
people
something?
People are buying things for like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like,
how's that possible?
Every week, people buy land in the metaverse for fucking $650,000, $1 million.
I think like, China is literally like, we couldn't even have thought of this ourselves. They're just destroying their own selves. Like, they're just so stupid over here. We're so dumb that we're wasting our money on fake property, and they're just laughing over there. They're like, it's only a matter of time. We don't even have to hack them. They're just doing it to themselves.
Who gets
it's crazy.
Money, that's what I don't understand.
Whoever owns... I'm assuming, I guess, it all started like with whoever created, whatever company started. Because I guess there's different metaverses. Like, there's a sandbox metaverse, which is like one company or one... I don't even know if it's a company. I don't know if it's like this blockchain shit where it's like not a single person, but maybe it is a company, but I guess it was purchased at some point, and then whoever owns the thing, you could resell it and make money off of the profit. If like you bought land in the metaverse last month and now you sold it this month for a profit, I guess you keep that money. I don't know.
It's buying like a token. It's like buying a slot, right? And then selling it. But the idea is that not only are you paying for this virtual thing, but you can actually like interact with it. It's basically like, paying to play a really expensive video game. Exactly.
We should ask our friend about this.
Which one? You know. Oh yeah, we could. Yeah. There'd be a lot of information that we could gather. I'm not going to say I'm not going to say any further information about our friend, but yeah, there's a person that's on the inside that definitely could give us a lot of information about this. But
big clubhouse,
user,
if you know what I'm saying.
But really, it's baffling to me. They are a big metaverse person for sure.
For sure, they are.
But dude, I've been like following along with the influencer people. Oh yeah, been going through it, and it's like, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, and you're right, Paul. It's literally there's some group of people somewhere that are just like, I can't believe they're still giving us money.
Russia's like, we wasted so much money trying to like hack them and like and like create bots. These idiots are just wasting their money on virtual land. It's like,
can you imagine? They're like, let's try to sell them fake land for like $1,000.
They'd be like, no, that's too stupid.
No, let's make it $600,000 just as a joke. It's like, let's do a before show for $1,000 and see if anybody joins it.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But the only people that are making money are like these influencers who are the ones who are like peddling it at first. Mm-hmm. And then someone buys it because it's like, oh, Logan Paul selling a picture of a rock. Let me buy it for $300,000. And then he made the money, and then you're stuck with a rock that's going to be worth nothing in a couple months when all this dumb shit fails. Or maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe it's the future.
Yeah, it's a huge pump and dump scheme. Yeah. And like, and you know what it is? What's crazy about it is like, so, and it's very funny because I've been watching Gary Vee talk about it, right? And Gary Vee keeps comparing it to like the advent of the internet or the cell phone, and he's like, remember when everybody said that they were never going to get an iPhone? Now everybody has one.
It's who
like,
said they weren't going to get an iPhone?
This is different.
A lot of people did.
Like, exactly.
I remember when they came out with the iPhone, everybody laughed at them, saying, who would buy a phone from Apple?
Yeah, but here's the thing. An iPhone is a physical... It is something.
Nobody
like,
needed... You're young though. Nobody needed it. Nobody wanted to be near a phone.
Everybody got by without it and felt fine.
It's like
not
that. What was that commercial? It's one of the cellular companies. The guy holds the phone. He goes, "Everything this thing does, and they call it a phone. I don't understand it." And it's true. Like back then, like I remember when they put a calculator. They had a calculator on the phone, and then they're like, "Oh, you can take a picture with it." I'm like, "Why would you take a picture with a phone? Like, that's just stupid, you know?
But the value isn't there.
But
like,
it's just...
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, the phone...
Yes.
The phone is worth...
such utility now.
Yeah.
It's a physical thing.
It's worth $1,000 to buy an iPhone for $1,000 for all that it can accomplish. You can go on Minecraft for free or for $10, and you could play around in your own virtual land, and it's the same exact shit. Or you can pay... $500,000 for a plot of virtual land on one of these metaverses, but the value doesn't make sense to me. It's just like what I said with these NFTs. I think the idea itself isn't bad. I understand selling digital art. The problem I have with it is all of the art that people are selling is shitty art. It's just pixelated pictures of like zombies with like made out of like 25 pixels, and they're just selling it for the simple fact that they can make money. They're not creating beautiful works of art and then just so happen to be, you know, distributing it in that way. They're doing it just to make money. Like, the art is terrible.
Well,
like,
I have to interrupt for a second.
Yes.
Because you mentioned art and you mentioned Logan Paul.
Yeah.
You seen that piece of artwork he made, didn't you?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
the epoxy thing?
Yeah,
that John Malecki helped him with?
Yeah, that thing was awesome.
That was cool.
That, That thing was really, really cool. I was shocked. I mean,
Malecki worked on that.
Yeah, he tagged him. I was scrolling through because I follow him.
Did he really?
And I'm like, oh shit, Logan Paul's. What is he doing? Total boat shit. And then I look and I scroll through the description, and it says, "Shout out to my friend John Malecki for helping me with this." I'm like, oh my god, that's crazy.
Wow.
But like I heard
that's funny.
Him, Logan Paul, say I think he did something. I'm not 100% sure, so I could be wrong. But he literally like hired graphic designers to like create art just to so that he could sell them. Like it's genius. Like he's doing it. Like I would do the same thing if I could. But like I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like I saw this one crazy like digital artwork that this would be like an incredible NFT. It was like someone I think they made it on like an iPad Pro with that app where you can draw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was It started out as like an aerial view. It was all black and white, just looked like a pencil drawing. An aerial view of like this village with all these little buildings, and she was zooming in with her fingers. And she was zooming in, and then she'd get to like a window of a building. And then she'd zoom in through the window, and it would be a whole new village, all different. And then she'd keep zooming in through all these little villages and towns, and she'd zoom in, and another one would pop up, and one would come out of like the clouds. It was just crazy. That was like an incredible.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those on Instagram.
Incredible.
Yep.
Piece of like digital art. Like it's hard for me to describe it, but if you saw it, people would be impressed. That could be like an NFT, not a brick. You know.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. No. 100%. And I think that this argument that all these guys are making, the point I was trying to make was like these people are talking about the metaverse. And they're talking about NFTs and they're talking about these things as though they have the same utility as technology that's came out and changed everything, right? Like iPhones have changed every industry, right? They've made us able to communicate better. They've done so much for our ability to be like more progressive as a society. They've also been terrible, right? Because they give everybody, they give people too much access to social media, and then, you know, young girls have issues with the images that get portrayed online. People get hated on and kill themselves because of comments. But like the utility is there. The idea of like the metaverse being this utility item that everybody is going to need to be a part of, and that's why we all need to invest our money into it now. It's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. It's a get in first and be the first person at the party so that you make the most money on it. And that's okay. I think that if you're Gary Vee, you can talk about it from an investment point of view. And I think that if you're honest about it, then yeah, it makes sense. If you get into the metaverse and NFTs right now, you're probably going to be in a better position than when it becomes totally mainstream, right? If you buy whatever the fuck, if you invest $1 million into a piece of land, but if you get involved in it now and you understand it, you'll be in a better position to capitalize on it later. But I think the idea of like telling people that if they don't, they got to get involved with it because it's going to be the next thing and they need to like refinance their houses to pay for it, I think it's like just crazy. And I think it's like totally disingenuous. You know, it's like, it just doesn't make any sense, you know? Even telling people to buy like Pokemon cards makes some amount of sense.
It does.
Because at some point they might be able to turn that around and make money out of it. But I don't know. The comparisons between the metaverse and all the other emerging technology that changed the world, I don't get.
They really lost me with this latest thing. When we started off with Bitcoin and all that shit and Dogecoin, and we thought that was crazy. Then they hit us with the NFTs. We're like, this is even crazier. Now they have the metaverse. I don't even know what they're going to come out with next month. It's like,
yep.
It's just, I don't know.
Can you get COVID in the metaverse?
Probably.
Or is it COVID free?
You get vaccinated in the metaverse.
Know? Dude, I was just talking. I won't say who it was, but I was just talking to somebody. He works for a real estate company. Yeah. And like a big
in the metaverse,
multi-state dude. Their office is in the metaverse.
Oh,
so when they go
Christ.
Into work, there are little avatars of all of the employees walking around a virtual office.
Jesus Christ!
And when you need to go to a meeting, there's like a little graphic of all the
and
people.
You use the arrow keys
like
to walk
into, and then they all get on Zoom. Dude, I guess. And he's like, so you'll be like, he said, my avatar is like a dude wearing a flannel
and
I walk around and it looks just like me. And I'm like, the fact that some company invested the fucking money into this thinking that they needed it for productivity is baffling.
Imagine they're like messaging each other, like, meet me over at the water fountain, and they take their arrow keys and they move their little guy over across the building.
It's like Legend of Zelda on the Game Boy. You ever played Legend of Zelda when it was on the Game Boy and you just
I played the original.
Or you ever played Pokemon?
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't a huge video game guy.
In a 2D world. Anyway, when he told me that, I looked at him, I'm like, you're fucking with me? He's like, no, dude, I'm serious. That's exactly what it is. I'm like, it's baffling to me. It's baffling to me.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to survive out here in the real world, let alone, you know, you're going to have somebody hacking your metaverse and, I don't know, ruining your life.
It's just weird.
Anyway, so that's the new thing. So, Paul, so other than welding in the metaverse, what have you been doing in the regular universe?
Welding in the regular universe, too.
How's that going?
That seems to make a lot more sense. but it's been going good. Working on a couple different jobs, finishing things up, getting ready to start some new jobs. And then, I don't know, just enjoying Christmas and the holidays.
Any progress
friends.
On the truck?
So it turns out I'm going to end up spending even more money on the truck. I'm basically rebuilding the entire truck. I'm getting a new... Because the problem was, it's like...
So just take the VIN tags off.
Literally, all I'm using is the hood,
scratch.
The cab, and the grill, front grill, and everything. Basically...
What about the motor? Is the motor,
good? Is good.
Just totally get, like, hosed
no,
on
no,
this
no.
Thing?
The motor... I actually did okay, like... For what I paid, like I have a lot of stuff that I can sell to people that want all this old shit. But the problem was, I have to make it an F1 because I can't get any parts for the F3, which means I have to get a new frame. So then I end up spending $10,000 on a new performance frame to turn it into an F1, and I'm going to put this 75-year-old, you know, which it's a cool motor. It's a flathead motor. You know, it's a cool thing to have, but. After I put this frame in it and dump a bunch of money into it, it's like, why am I putting a 100-horsepower motor that's going to overheat on the side of the road when I want to drive it to my friend's house? It's like, why am I spending all this money to do that? So I talked to Louis, and actually my dad was the one who said I should just put a new motor and transmission in it and just sell all the other parts that I have. Because I have three motors. Hey, if anyone listening wants to buy a flathead motor, I have two of the older version, which is like a 21 stud, I think. And then new one, which is like a 24 stud that runs. I could be wrong. But if anyone wants to buy flathead motors and transmissions and parts, let me know because I have a bunch. Yeah, one of them definitely runs, but it's taken apart. And the other two could run if you work on them and rebuild them. So that's that. I'm probably going to get like a small block Chevy, like a 350 and a manual transmission, like a 5-speed. But
yeah, I might know where you could get one of those.
Oh, really?
One of the guys at Matt's shop has like a ton of. He's had like 7 C10s and he's rebuilt them, and he's got motors and transmissions and so much stuff kicking around Matt's shop. So
yeah, let me know.
You should talk to them. But yeah, it's funny. I was talking to somebody about my power hammer the other day.
Oh, and, yeah, I forgot.
I went to go look at a photo, and your truck is in the background of the photo.
Yeah.
I remembered about your truck. You haven't heard about it in a while.
Yeah, but I got a sandblaster, actually. I got a sandblast cabinet, which I think I talked about, from Eastwood, which it's like, it's okay. Like, it was like $300, so you get what you pay for. It was pretty good for that price. But then I bought a little pot, like, one of the sandblasters to use, you know, not in a cabinet.
Just out
in the open, like a 100-pound pot. And the thing actually works great. Like, I only used it for, like, 2 minutes. But it was, like, $300. It holds 100 pounds of media. And I tried it out on the cab a little bit. And it, like, worked great off of just my regular compressor. Like, it was shocking how well it worked. So I'm going to build a little enclosure with, like, plastic and maybe some, like, tube. And then just put the cab and the hood and the doors in there and the front grill and just sandblast everything. And then epoxy coat it with whatever that primer is. and then like do now, the body
is it,
work.
Is it like a pressure tank? Where yeah. Is it a pressure tank where the air goes into the tank mm-hmm. and then comes back out?
Yeah, the air goes nice. Into the tank. And then I think also the air splits off and goes into the... I got to take a better look at it. I put it together and like used it for 2 minutes. But I think mm-hmm. air goes into the tank, pressurizes it, pushes the media out, and then more air mixes in, I think. Yeah, definitely mm-hmm. more air mixes in, I think, at the gun or maybe at the beginning of where the hose starts. And then there's like a nozzle, yeah. which literally has like a lever, and there's a little arm that covers up the like the end of the nozzle, and then you press the lever and it mm-hmm. comes off of it, and the shit comes out.
Yeah.
But you know, for $300, it worked really good.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess the only issue with it is that you don't get any recycling on your media because it just goes out into the world. Right?
That's the thing, but that's why I'm going to build the enclosure yeah. and put plastic
oh, yeah,
on the floor, and then I'll just vacuum it up with a shop vac and keep reusing it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
So, I always wanted a little sandblaster.
Get the Eastwood one.
Washer. Yeah.
I just got a little cheap parts washer. Or no, not a parts washer. Oh, Louis got a parts washer, like a good one. Uh-huh. That is great. And then I got a little tumbler.
Like a heated one?
Yeah, heated one. It's pretty big, actually. Louis found that, and then I bought a little Harbor Freight, like, tumbler, media tumbler, for, like, some little, like, plasma cut parts. And that...
The vibratory?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Or,
The vibratory
those
one.
Those work pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You got to do the cement mixer thing, dude. That seems awesome.
What thing?
Buy the $200
cement. Oh.
I think I sent it to you, but some of the guys in the plasma Facebook group that I'm in, they buy, like, the Harbor Freight makes an electric cement mixer.
Okay.
And they buy that, and you can put, like, rubber flaps in it, or you can line the inside of it with rubber so it's not so loud.
Oh.
And they just literally just, like, leave it on, and they just throw parts in it, and it just goes, you know, and it's not as aggressive as a vibratory tumbler, but...
And what do they have in there for media?
You know, they'll put tumbling media in there.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, know? Round
like
the
coarse
pots
media.
Over or anything like that, or is it just...
No,
just
no. Something? It just takes the burrs off. Yeah. The thing, you know, what's nice about it is it's, like, you know, it's heavy duty, right? It's slow. Mm. You know, I mean, the vibratory tumblers are great, but they're fucking irritating. Mine has literally vibrated itself to pieces.
Which one do you have? The Harbor Freight one?
I have the Harbor
Freight
one.
Yeah, the plastic
one. And it's literally like, it shook itself apart.
Yeah.
To like where every bolt falls out of it. It's, and it works great. I mean, it does a great finish, but, I would like to have something that you could just throw parts in and let it kind of go.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know, there's a couple of guys that have done it. I'm sure you could find a video or something on YouTube of making a making a tumbler, but I mean, you do so much plasma cut parts, that's got to be a huge time
I gotta
saver.
Look into that. Yeah, I mean, on the thicker stuff, it's funny, like 3/8 and half inch plate, I barely get any, you know, like slag or dross or whatever people call it. But sometimes on the thinner stuff, like 1/8 inch, you'll get some for whatever reason, you know. But
yeah,
it worked pretty good.
Nice. What have you been up to, Derek?
Nothing. Just cleaning up a little bit. Just trying to pick up after I finished everything up. I finished up a couple days before Christmas. I just been trying to pick up things, sort things out a little bit. I have to be out of the garage where I have everything stored by the end of January, so I really have to make an effort to get everything cleaned out of here. So I'm just kind of, my brothers came by for Christmas, and I gave them a bunch of stuff, and I just gonna keep giving stuff away till I have nothing left to give away, and then just keep moving
until
stuff.
We're cutting the plasma table. Yeah. I'm cutting the CNC back up and loading it back out.
I got to take that apart, the spoil board, and I'm going to put down a nice setup. What's it? Armatool had sent me all the T-track and everything a couple months back, and I haven't had the time to do it just because I don't want to take it out of commission. But I'm going to take that apart. I was debating on whether to take the fourth axis, the rotary thing, and install that down in the table so I could just have it. And I'm still thinking of doing that. The only issue is I think it needs to be at the front of the table, and it might be a pain in the ass because the amount of times I would use it, it just doesn't seem worth it to have it, because I'd have to be working over it all the time. But I'll figure that out, you know. But I'm not too.
They're pretty
about
cool
that.
Watch work. I've never.
It's
amazing. I don't know that
them,
I.
You know,
like
it's.
Yeah. Did you guys ever get the one working at Jimmy's?
Yeah.
You guys did use it, right?
Yeah, we used it on the special project, and it came out amazing. But I'd like to try it. There's a couple things I had some ideas for. I wanted to try and. I just got to get off my ass and do it. It just seems like just always something else going on that I need to get done. So I'm kind of – I have a couple projects I am working on, but I'm just going to kind of lay low for the next couple months because I have to get this stuff taken care of. It's just I keep putting it off, and I can't put it off anymore, you know. So that's my –
Yeah, I'm in the same spot. I have a couple projects that I need to finish up for the restaurant, for my friend's restaurant that she's opening.
Yeah.
But those skylight planters were kind of like the hardest thing. Once I'm done with that, and there's like maybe one or two other things that I have to do, I have to spend like a month just getting my shit together at my shop because it's gotten to the point now where it's like I can't even work in there. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's like the problem I have. It's like I need to cut a bunch of strips of MDF to put on the table, and it's just like rearranging everything just to use my table saw. It's just a pain in the ass, you know. So I wanted to get to a point where I can just use everything and not have to worry too much about it, you know.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's especially in your space, like, you know, you've got such you have to have such efficiency in your space to be able to use all your stuff.
Yeah.
That it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I just got it, like, a lot of it's just self-induced. So it's like, if I can just deal with that and, you know, it's going to suck to do, but I have to, you know, just do it. You know, so I'm going to do it because, like I said, I have to get that stuff out of the garage next door. And, and I want to do things. You know, I got a nice new tool. Even Heat was nice enough to send me an oven. And I tried baking a cake in it, and my cake pan wouldn't fit in it. So I don't think it's for baking. But, I want to set that up somewhere, you know, where it's not on another table. You know, like, that's the problem. Like, you know, somebody come down, like, oh, that fits perfectly. And I'm like, yeah, except that's a work surface. You know, it's like supposed to be working on that table, not have, you know, an oven on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got to get this stuff taken care of. It's like I've just pushed it off too far, and now it's like I'm buried. So we'll see.
Yeah. That's a nice even heat oven you got there, dude.
Beautiful.
You could try warming up your boots in there next time it's cold.
Yeah.
I tried my lunch up in it. Yeah. It's I tell you, they just make beautiful stuff, you know. And the family is
a good job.
Super nice, you know. I was talking to the owner. I actually trying to get him on the podcast. He's interested in coming on and talking because they have like just a great story, you know, how they got started and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to work with me. There's a local community, like Makerspace nonprofit, that's starting a pottery class, and they need a kiln, and they're trying to raise money for it. So he said he would help them out. So I got to talk to him about that and seeing if he could do that. You know, it'll be good for the community and stuff like that. So we'll see, you know, but
oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I spoke to them. I spoke to them when I got my oven, and they're just I can't remember
Spencer?
The guy's name now.
Was it Spencer?
What's the guy's name?
Was it Spencer?
Was it Spencer?
Yeah, I think Spencer's
Spencer.
The guy
yeah.
I dealt with.
Super nice guy. Like,
yeah,
really, really supportive, and like, he's the kind of person that like, he's like loved all the different social media stuff that goes on and like the videos that people make and was like really interested in it. So I was like,
honestly, he was just like, you know, we had tagged him a couple times at the show and he had reached out to me when we were doing the show. And he was just like, honestly, I just want you to make something cool with it. He's like, I don't want you to have to talk about it, you know, nothing. He goes, if you have a problem, just let me know about it first, please. And just enjoy it. He goes, that's it. I just want you to enjoy it. And I said, okay. You know, so It just, you know, you can't ask for a better deal than that. So, but.
Yep. Yeah. So. When I got mine, the shipping company had like smashed the computer.
Mm-hmm.
He like right away got me another one. You know, one of the things that I want to get for mine, and you have the tap controller on yours, right,
yeah,
Derek?
Yeah.
The digital controller.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have the USB dongle?
I don't know. There's no thing hanging out. I imagine there's a USB on there because
you're
Wi-Fi, and
you probably don't. What'd you say?
That you on the screen it does say like if you want to hook it up to Wi-Fi and stuff like that for diagnostic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's no like dongle hanging out of it or anything like that that I see.
Yeah, so you can buy from like USA Knife Maker. I'm sure you could probably hit Spencer up for it too. It's $30, but you can get a dongle that hooks up to it that lets you control it over an app on your phone.
So that
when you have something, heat treating, you can just look at your phone and go back and look at it and just be like, oh, I have an hour left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's like it's just one of those things that like I just haven't ordered.
Yeah.
But it's a cool little like feature that you can get.
Yeah, it definitely has that ability.
Shout out to Even Heat.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has that ability because there's like all little different things you can do with it, you know. I was looking at it the other day, so. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
But I also want to get the guys from Ameribraid on here. They're super nice guys too. You know, I've been dealing with them a lot. And they're another group of guys that have, like, a great story, you know, how they got their start and what they're doing, you know. So we got to get them on in the near future. It would just be nice to hear, you know, how they started just in a little garage with an idea and now have this very successful business, you know. So.
Yeah, I got a lot of people reaching out after we had Jordan from Two Avocados on.
Uh-huh.
People seemed to really like hearing his story, so I definitely want to do that. I also I've talked about him on here before, but Adam from Maker Table, who you guys I think are familiar with, he has like a CNC plasma sign shop that he runs. It's like, you know, crazy. Same thing. He started like in his garage. Now he's got like 10 employees, and they're, you know, making signs, like hundreds, if not thousands, of signs every month, and you know, doing big industrial projects. And it's cool to see people grow from the garage shop, you know, out to these, you know, big companies, especially when it comes to like making products, because I feel like making products is so difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. Like obviously there's a lot of difficulty in like running a business like the way like what Paul's doing with like, you know, doing the houses and stuff, but I feel like to there's a totally different hell in like developing and manufacturing your own products and then dealing with all the bullshit that must come along with it, you know. Like Paul, when you do a job, like you start the job, you finish the job's done, you do a different job.
Yeah.
But when you have to make like belt grinders and like refine the process, and every time you can like shave off 5 minutes,
yeah,
you save money, and like doing it hundreds, and then as your business grows, you hope that your business grows to the point where you need to make, if you make 10 a month, you need to make 100 a month or 1,000 a month. And then it's like all the things that come along with that, you know? I feel like it's got to be so difficult, you know?
Yeah.
And the stuff you're selling costs a lot. You know, like a job I might do might be a really expensive project that takes a couple months. And if you're trying to sell a product that costs like $100 or even less than that, it's like you got to be real efficient when you're making it and shipping it and packaging it, and then there's a problem with it and someone wants to send it back, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's just think of like the price of steel going up and stuff, how that must affect,
oh yeah,
you know, and it, like you said, the shipping costs, you know, it's like, you know, there's no easy way to ship those things, you know, and it's just, there's a lot to it, you know, but it's crazy.
Yeah, speaking of steel costs, I just got steel delivered today. It was like I wanted to like throw up. I got like just a little, this like little steel delivery of like some miscellaneous tube and some flat stock, just stuff I needed around the shop. It was like $1,300.
Jesus Christ.
For like such a small, like it was, you know, like four pieces of 1x1, like 2 pieces of 1-inch round tube, like 3-inch flat stock, like just like the stuff that you need to to do random little things. And you know, I'm like looking at the pile when the guy delivered it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, this is like, this is nothing, you know. And that's like, you know, $1,300, like it takes a lot of time to make back that kind of money. And this is all just material for myself, just for me to use because I need material around the shop. It's like, you know,
if you want place an order at my place for when you come pick up that power hammer, like if you need any like random shit like that, let me know, because I know it'll be a lot cheaper. It's still going to be expensive, but not nearly like that. Sounds like a lot of money for what you got.
Yeah, I pay a lot per pound for my steel here, but you know, I think I've talked about my steel supplier setup here. Like, my guy is not the cheapest by any means. He hooks me up.
But it's convenient for small, you know, like orders like that.
Exactly,
and they'll help you take it off the truck.
Today at 10 o'clock, dude. Today at 10 o'clock. So like normally they tell me like within 15 minutes of when the driver's coming. So today, the guy that runs the company, he's out of town for the holidays. So he's got, you know, he's got his guys running the shop, whatever. So today around 10 o'clock, I get an alert from my camera at the shop, and it's the truck. And I'm like, shit, normally I leave money in an envelope in the lockbox and all this different stuff, and I wasn't prepared for it at all. So I run over to the shop. By the time I get there, he's already unloaded all the material on a pair of sawhorses that I had outside. So it wasn't even on the ground. Like, he went and found a pair of sawhorses, put the material on the sawhorses, then taped it up into a bundle, you know? And I was like, dude, if a big steel shop came to my shop and I wasn't there, they would just turn around
100%.
And probably charged me for me not being there, you know? Like, stuff like that, like, you know, you can't even put a price on that. For somebody like me, who's like there, you know, when I can be there, and when I'm not there, that's it, I'm gone. It's like, it works out super, super well. So shout out to Public Metals. If anybody's on Long Island and needs material, call my friend Stefan at Public Metals.
That's same thing. That's what I always say at my boys at Boulder Plywood. It's like, you know, I was picking something up the other day. He goes, oh, that's not the stuff you usually get. You usually get the stuff here. And then the 3/4, we were low on it, so I saved you 2 sheets of it. And, you know, they'll cut it up for me. They'll help me load it in the car. Then if I, you know, they close at 4, so sometimes if I'm leaving the pizza parlor and traffic's heavy, I'll pay for it over the phone. He'll leave it outside by the gate, you know, for me. You know, Home Depot would never do that for you.
Yeah,
you know?
That's for sure.
Yeah,
and
right.
And it's like, you know, the cost, the extra cost, when you really think of it, it's so minimal, you know, and it's going to a local family, so it's like, you know, it's worth it, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I gladly pay the extra there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Paul, that's a good point, though. When I get
get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
My goal, like, over the month of January is to get my I gotta build a material rack in the metal shop, and I have to really change around my, like, workbenches in order to get the power hammer here. But I really want to get it here by the end of the month so that I can just have it here, and, like, I want to use it.
Yeah, I'd love to see that thing running.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I so badly want to see it running, because it's so funny, like, never seeing that hammer. Like, I can't even – there isn't even a video – like, there isn't a photo of that hammer, you know, anywhere, because it's so rare. Like, I've never seen it running. Like, no one has. Mm-hmm. So I just want to see it go. And, like, I found the right motor for it and all the other stuff. So it's like, I just want to, you know, get the space. And now I have the forklift, too. So it's like, it's all the stuff is in place for me to just get it into the shop. You know, I literally just need to come and pick it up. So I'm going to try to get that going, you know, unless you guys want to use it to, like, build some railings or anything, you know, you could, like, get it
rivets or something.
Yeah. Even that, I don't think it's got the throat for it. It's that fucking bottom die is like
12
inches tall.
Oh my God. I don't know what
you probably
that person
can't even
did
hit anything
to it.
With
yeah.
It. I know. It's so funny.
You could like fix everything pretty much.
Oh yeah,
you can even fill in that like once I get hole. I cannot believe someone did that. That's so crazy. Yeah. But you could definitely fix that and fill it in.
Yeah. So on the side of this hammer was like a huge bronze or brass tag, and at some point, some scrapper cut it off to scrap the material because it was like a big tag, and it probably just had a couple rivets on it. But instead of cutting the rivets, they actually torch cut the whole side of the piece of material.
You know what you should do? Get a piece of brass and machine it on your Tormach, like, and write your own. Either like try and remake it as close as you could,
yeah,
or just write something else on it, like, you know, make everything shop. Don't die or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. There's one other of these hammers that are like known, and it's that guy Alan Lake, Moccasin Mountain Power Hammers up in the Dakotas, and his has the tag on it. And him and I had spoken about it, and I asked him if he could take a bunch of photos of it, because I could remake it, you know, and it would be really cool to remake it. Like, I don't know if you guys have been following Will Stelter's, but he's rebuilding a big Beaudry power hammer, and he just got brass tags made by that guy, King Tutley.
I was just going to show it. Yeah, right,
and they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so, so nice.
Yeah, he does such a nice
job.
So
it's like... Yeah, exactly. So like that would be such a cool thing to add back to that machine. So it's one of the goals.
You should get one of these sandblasters, and you could sandblast the whole thing and like redo it all.
I know. I thought about it. I was looking. Did you get the Eastwood?
Yeah.
The $300 one, is that an Eastwood?
Yeah,
as well?
Yeah. It's like 100
yeah,
pounds.
That's what I was just looking at.
Capacity, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. And now that I have the forklift, I can actually, like...
just move it around.
I can actually, like, move it around. Like, I don't have to bring it inside and then never move it again.
Yeah, you don't have to get the plywood out, the carts, the high-lift pallet jack. I love how, like, you have acquired more ways of moving things than, like, anybody I know. Like, and you always figured it out, like... Multiple pallet jacks, different carts. Those carts. What are those things you would buy? Those like jacks. They're almost like little forks that would stick out and like lift things up.
Oh, I have a couple of those. Like pressed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost kind of like a genie lift.
They're like
lift.
Little. Yeah, exactly. But like smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have every method of moving. It's so funny too, because Matt just got a bunch of new machines. Mm-hmm. And he got like a new lathe, he got a new mill, and he doesn't even have a pallet jack. And so like, I have like machinery skates. I've got,
I don't
jacks,
have a pallet
like,
jack.
I have every it's,
I
yeah.
should get one.
Well, your space is you, I'm surprised you don't have one. Cause there are times where it would be useful for you to just have a pallet.
Yeah.
Jack. But especially with like the big pieces of material, where like if you had two pallet jacks and you had like a 24 foot or a 30 foot piece with two guys and two pallet jacks, you can spin them around and like do so much stuff. But it's so funny because Matt sends me a photo of like one of the new machines like tucked in a corner, and all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, and he was just at my shop the day before, and I'm like, dude, you were just here. You could have taken a pallet jack, the machinery skates, the Johnson bar, like all these things. He's like, yo, they slid it across the ground with just a crowbar because that was all they had. It took them like all day. I'm like, oh my God. And he's got Jimmy's old forklift now.
Oh, really?
So now he says the reverse doesn't really work. So every now and then he gets it completely stuck and he can't back it out.
Wait, what happened to his little tiny one that he had?
He gave it away to one of our friends.
Oh, really?
Because it wouldn't work. Oh. And the dude's a mechanic. He completely rebuilt the motor and got it running.
That was a cool little forklift.
But, I know. I told him I wanted that one, but he was like, dude, it needs too much work. And I don't have time for it. Luckily, my vaporizer is still freezing up. But the other day I turned it on just to like make sure it was still running. And it literally, as soon as I turned the key, it fired right up.
That's cool.
And it's working really good. So, I just, you know, I have a feeling, you know, obviously it's not going to love running in the really cold weather, but it's definitely a good little machine. I just got to keep it from rotting away. I got to make like a cover for it. I actually been looking into like, you can buy like forklift covers that go over the cab just to kind of keep the elements off of like the seat and the controls. But None of them look like they're too good. So I was thinking about just kind of like making my own.
Make another little shed like you did up in your property. You can make a lean-to off of the building, actually.
So there's a spot like back in the corner, which is right now the forklift's like up in the front of the yard, and I really don't want it there just because I don't want people seeing it and wondering what it is or like asking questions. Yeah. You know, like I want a low profile down there. So I've been thinking about moving it all the way back into the into kind of the backyard of the shop, and I think once I got it back there, it would actually I'd be pretty easy to build a little awning off the side of the building.
Yeah. You know? Just make it out of steel and just bolt and attach it to the side of the shop. It could just overhang, and you could put like some little metal corrugated whatever on the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just to keep the elements off it completely. Yeah. You know, like otherwise it just gets
fucking, what about if you park it under bridge thing that's already there?
It actually fits perfect under there, and there's a spot where I could put it. It's a matter of reorganizing stuff so that it just works better, you know. Because right now there's like 40 sandbags.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, you know how it is in my shop. It's a disaster with some of that shit. So you know, I gotta do a little finagling, but once I get it kind of set up. Macklin and I have a lot of outdoor work to do at the shop. And if he's listening to this, him and I have been talking about it. So we have like this pile of this ridiculous mahogany molding that I think I showed you guys. Remember the rocking chair that Macklin made?
Oh yeah.
So like that was out of like solid mahogany molding that we had left over from a job from a guy that we used to work for. And when the guy closed, he was throwing it all away. And we were like, well, we can't just like let this go in the way, like go by the wayside. It was like $20 a linear foot or something like that, this stuff. So it's been sitting under a tarp and sitting in a pile in the back of the shop for like four or five years now. And at this point, it's probably completely rotten. And we're just like, fuck, we have to get rid of it. But neither of us want to take the time to like, it's probably a whole dumpster's full of material.
Wow.
But once that's gone, I'll clear up so much, you know, just room in my yard.
Burn it.
It's really gotten bad. I know, but it's like, where am I going to burn it? I can't even like,
yeah,
I can't even burn it. I tried to burn, Derek, you ever burn like old documents at the end of the year instead of shredding them?
Yes. I used to do it all the time when I buy a place.
I tried to burn, I had like a banker box full of paperwork that was my dad's that my mom found. And I had a 55-gallon steel drum, and I put it all in there, and I put a little bit of gasoline on it, and I lit it on fire, and it was going great. It was burning. I was like, oh, let's just grab, like, five banker's boxes. I figured, oh, I'll just, you know, every hour or so, I'll throw some more on the fire. So it's going and going, and then all of a sudden, I decide to grab, like, a steel rod and, like, turn it over to try to make sure that the fire, like, gets to everything.
Yeah.
And it just started smoking. Mm-hmm. Like a fucking village was on fire. The amount of smoke, I can't believe no one called the fire department. The amount of smoke that was like billowing off of it. So I'm like, oh shit, what do I do? So I like grab the hose, I spray with the hose. Obviously that makes it worse.
Even more smoke, yeah.
Yeah, so then I find like a, you know those steel discs I have? They like perfectly fit over the drum. So I put a steel disc over the drum and I go inside and I'm like, all right, well like, you know, how long could it really take for this to like burn itself out? Took like 5 hours for this fire to finally like almost die down. I had to dump so much water on it. So now I've just got a 55-gallon drum a quarter of the way filled with wet paperwork. And I just have no idea what to do with it. And my mom's like, well, I don't want to bring it to the dump. Like it's got like my dad's old stuff. So like his social, like all stuff that I guess, you know, I don't know. I feel like if somebody wants to steal your identity, there are way easier ways to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really think it's a problem if I just throw the shit away. Yep. But, like, my mom's like, no, the accountant said we have to burn it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great.
Yep. That's funny.
So, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
If anybody has any suggestions on how to properly burn 10 boxes of
soaking wet paper.
Soaking wet paper in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm up at Jimmy's where I could just have, like, a box.
You got to just cut a little hole in the side of the drum and put, like, a leaf blower in it and make, like, and just get air in the bottom of it probably and just throw a lot less in at a time. Because, like, I've done that too. Like, we've burned, like, paperwork. And it's funny, like, it does not burn in the middle of it. Like, you'll think that the papers are all burned, and then you, like, poke it, and it's just white, unburned paper, like, pages and pages of it. It's hard to do, actually. Anytime you want to purposely start a fire, it's always hard. But if you don't want to start a fire, your whole house is going to burn down. It's unbelievable.
Me and Macklin spent like 2 hours trying to start a fire up at my property. Not the last time we went when they knocked the house down, but the time before that. Like literally 2 hours, like cutting up wood, finding it's a barrel. Impossible. And we only had like 5 hours of daylight. And then finally, once we got it was going so good that when we went to leave for the day, I was like, shit, how are we going to put this out? Yeah. But my I guess in the news for me is my house is gone.
Yeah.
Guys. Yeah.
Were you up my there when they gone. Tore the chimney down?
I was, yeah. I filmed
okay,
that.
Yeah, clip. Okay. I was wondering that because I thought you were gone before that. So you saw that
So the only thing that was left standing when I left was the one of those, like, you know how it had those kind of rooms off the front?
Yeah.
Those, like, little, like, kind of wings. Yeah. The only thing that was left was one of those wings was still standing. And then I had to get back home so I could go back to work. And since then, though, they've completely got it down. I actually was watching. I was actually checking the cameras today. It's been pretty cool to like see it happen. I have those cellular enabled cameras up there, and it's been pretty cool that like every time the guys are working up there, like I get photos like basically right away of them like pulling the truck up. And I haven't spoken to any of the guys from the company in a couple of days. And it's partially intentional because I don't have time to go there this weekend, even though I would really like to. And I'm kind of waiting it out because I don't want to call them and be like, oh yeah, because I owe them money. So I'd like to go there next week. Mm-hmm. So I'm avoiding calling them. But so far today, they really graded over where the house was. And I could see in the photos that they totally got the pad flat. And hopefully they'll bring some shale up in the next couple days, and that's it. It'll just be totally gone.
Uh-huh. Nice.
So, it's
Oh, I bet. It's, it's nice. Now you're going to have a nice, clean slate. Ooh.
What the hell just happened?
Chris disappeared.
Yeah, you disappeared into the metaverse.
I disappeared. I disappeared into the metaverse. No, it's really exciting to have the house gone. And, I'm excited. There's actually a hammer in up at the Blackthorn in about a month. I don't know if you guys saw today on Instagram. The Catskill Mountain Maker Camp. The Maker Camp Instagram posted that there will be a hammer in. No, wait, maybe not. I definitely saw something today, and then I reposted it. Maybe they changed it. No, here it is. Yes, February 18th to the 20th, there will be a hammer-in at the Blackthorn. So if anybody wants to see where my house used to be, I'll probably be there that weekend. So what'd you say?
They'll see the empty lot. They'll be exciting.
Exactly. They'll see the empty lot, and that's about it. It'll be really exciting to see the empty lot for everyone.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, what have you been watching, guys?
You know who I've been watching? I tell you, I kind of was on a kick for this a little while ago, and I got off it, and I'm back on it in full force, and it's crazy. Let me just get the guy's name. It's he's from Lima, Peru, and it's E-L-I-E-R, Iliar, and his last name is O-L-I-B-O-S. He makes jewelry, and this guy is just like in a little room. It might even be a prison cell.
Wait, is he on Instagram or on YouTube?
On YouTube.
Wait, spell it again.
E-L... I E R.
Okay.
O L I B O S.
Can you try and sound that out? Like, say what you think. Say the way you think it's pronounced.
No, I've made that mistake before.
It just sounds like random letters.
It's Iliar. Olivos? I don't know.
It's probably Elia Olivo.
Elia? Yeah. Yeah, that too. I don't know.
Or Eli Olivo.
Yeah, something. EO.
Oh, this guy's good.
Dude, it is absolutely amazing how he makes this jewelry. Like, he... I can't even tell you. It just, I couldn't stop watching him last night. I must have watched 10 of his videos last night in bed.
And oh, wow. It's just, and the video, it's just, quality. If he's in a prison cell, he's got a fantastic film. Yeah, because the video quality is fantastic.
Yeah, he, a couple of the ones that was amazing was the flexible ring. The silver bracelet he makes is just unbelievable. He makes the clasp and everything. Like, he makes all the clasps, the safety catches. It's unreal. I watch it. I'm like, how does this guy do this? It just, I mean, he does it right in front of your eyes. It's not like it's a trick photography or anything, but it's just amazing that somebody could be so talented, you know?
How'd you find this guy? He only has like 12 videos.
Yeah, it's so weird. It just, you know, what's funny is the video, I haven't watched it yet. It was, I turned a stainless steel bolt into a beautiful lock, Maker B, and this guy's thing came up beside it, and I ended up watching that instead, and I still haven't watched the other video yet.
I love that.
It was just absolutely amazing. Like, the way he makes the clasps on those things, it's unreal. Like, the safety clasps, and, like, they look like legit clasps, and you're like, wow, those are made by hand? Like, it's just unbelievable. He makes, like, a tube bracelet, and he legit makes the tube. Like, just forms a tube over a mandrel, solders the whole thing together, and then just does it. It's just, wow. it's crazy.
Yeah, this is beautiful. The work that he does is really cool.
Yeah, isn't it?
That's funny that you talked about, like, a jewelry maker, because I was just watching, like, people make jewelry.
Yeah. I always like love that shit. The watchmakers and stuff, the guys that repair. There was a guy
that's crazy.
He was repairing a watch. He made the the crown? Is that what you call it? The pot, you spin.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable on a lathe, and it was just amazing to watch this guy make it. And it's funny. I mean, it's stupid, but it's so small, but it's made the same way when something's big. It's just the metal is like so strong. It's just unreal. Like, it's like, how does that not even break?
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. And I just made a gasket when I was talking to you guys.
Wow. I saw you doing that.
Yeah, thank you. It's for a vacuum, a Festool vacuum I just got.
Nice. What? Why do you need a gasket for a Festool vacuum you just
somebody,
got?
So my brother-in-law was going to throw it out, and it was like half a pot. Somebody was smart enough to use it without a bag and without a filter. So the motor was filled with shit, and I cleaned it all out, and it works. But they must have lost one of the sails to it. So if this sails it, I have another Festool vacuum.
Nice.
If not, it'll be one sitting on my curb.
Nice. I actually was just about to buy a Festool vacuum. I've never
owned
one.
After you talked me out of it, you bastard? Dude, I just almost bought one yesterday. But the problem with them is to get a decent one, it's $600, you know?
Yeah, I was going to get that one that's like $370, the CTS,
it's not bad.
I think.
Yeah. What were you going to use it on?
I just want to have it as a site, like, when I go and do
awesome.
Shit.
It's awesome for that. It's awesome for that. I mean, they're all great, even that one, the small one. That's exactly what this one is.
The CT15.
Yeah, and it's like, this one's the MIDI, and it's like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll throw it underneath the chop saw. They're quiet. They work unbelievable. I mean, there's a reason why they're $500 for a cheap one. You know, they work unbelievable. I'm sold. I don't care. That was another thing. My new tool of the week isn't the Evenhead Kiln. It's the drill, the Festool drill that I got for Christmas.
You know, how do you like it? Macklin has them. They're awesome.
I love it. I always said I would never buy one, and I didn't buy it. It was given to me as a gift for Christmas. But I tell you, the drill is amazing. They have the best tools, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. It's got interchangeable heads. It's you know, light. It's powerful. It just feels good in your hand. It works beautifully. It's just, this shit's just great. So
yeah, Macklin has gone pretty hard at the Festool stuff.
dude, lately. The stuff's unbelievable. It really is. It's you know, it's expensive, but it just works great. It really does. I got all those polishing pads and everything through.
Oh yeah, that was coming in. I think last time we talked.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Makes a difference.
Oh my god, I gave away my polisher, all the compounds, everything. See you later. Goodbye.
Adios.
It just my life just got so much easier. So
that's their stuff is good. I've always wanted like, and I don't want a big Festool vac because I literally just want one that when I go and have to do something on site. Yeah. And I need to bring a good vacuum. I can just, like, right now I have a Bosch HEPA that I have under the table that I use. I use for all my sanding whenever I use my palm sander, and it's like it's like built into the shop, like it.
Yeah.
And but it can leave, and I do take it when I need it. But it's like a huge pain in the ass to take it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I'll buy a $100 vacuum from Home Depot without even thinking about it. Why don't I just buy this? The CT15 is only $350.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't I just get it? It's a HEPA vacuum. It's quiet. It's compact. It rolls around good. It'll fit in the truck.
The only
thing
that sucks about that one is it doesn't come with anything. So it has no place to wind the cord.
Yep.
No place to hold the hose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the next one up is the same one, but with all that stuff. So that's
maybe
how
I'll
they
get
you with it.
It's probably like twice as much money.
No, it's a little bit cheaper than if you bought all those. You can buy all those accessories to it. It's a little bit cheaper than if you bought them all, but it's nice to have. I mean, you have to have a place to wind the cord.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have a holder for I forget what else. And that's the only thing I don't like about mine. They're old, and you can't get the little boom for it to hold the hose. That's nice if you do a lot of sanding, but whatever. That's what a bungee to the ceiling's for.
Yeah. I mean, you know. There's always a way to rig it up.
Yeah, so it is what it is. So.
Yeah, I think the hose on the CT15 is not so great either.
Yeah,
it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's not the one. That's why I took this vacuum, because he was throwing it out and it had the new hose on it.
Mm.
And I just bought one, but I never hooked it up. It was $180 for a hose.
My God.
Yeah. But the problem is the other hose, if you use it, and you sand and it'll make marks on your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you kind of
it's like a regular vacuum hose with the ribs. I mean, like if
so
it scrapes across your stuff.
And the other one, it's anti-static. It's nice, you know.
Yeah, they get you.
Okay, you know they get you. They always get you.
They do get you. I mean, listen, they've got everybody else convinced, so why not us?
Yeah. The whole world can't be wrong.
That's right. All these guys that make a living doing this shit.
Well, that's if you have, like, the sanders and you're on job site, it looks so professional with everything stacked. You know, it really does, so.
That's why I like that pack-out stuff, the Milwaukee stuff.
Yeah,
because it's, like, even now, it's, like, I have, like, the dollies that the stack goes on.
Yeah.
And, like, when I need to go and do something, now I have the drawers. They have the drawer units. Mm-hmm. So, like, now everything's, like, organized in drawers. So if I need to go and do something, like,
I should
just
get
open a drawer.
Some of those things.
Dude,
yeah, I think they're great.
Yeah, the Packout stuff's great. I just bought the Festool dolly yesterday.
Nice, yeah.
It's nice. It is. It really is.
I think for the type of stuff that you do, Paul, the Packout stuff's a little more resilient.
Oh,
like the Festool plastic.
I wouldn't get the Festool.
No, the Packout's the way to go. Throw it on the back of your truck.
Yep.
In boxes and stuff.
Yeah, watertight and shit.
Yep. You lock it. It's nice.
It's funny though. It's like DeWalt has their own system, and it's a lot less expensive. It's like half as much. But I feel like
I've
watched Mac
like
break the fucking boxes. Yeah, exactly. It's like
That Milwaukee stuff is strong plastic, whatever it's made out of. I don't know if it's like fiberglass reinforced or something.
Yeah, it's nice.
But
you know,
yeah, it is nice.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know that I don't know if I have any new tools, Derek. You got a lot of new tools. But I have been watching a lot of YouTube, and I want to recommend my pick of the week is going to be our friend Blackbeard Projects. Did you guys see the soft hammer that he made? He cast it out of aluminum.
No.
So he like cast an aluminum hammer, but he made the buck. He does a lot of casting. Like, and I feel like I've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But he made the casting blank on his CNC out of MDF, and then the casting came out like flawless. Like, it, really? The hammer looks perfect out of aluminum. And it, like, when he's done, he uses a needle scaler to, like, texture it so it looks forged.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's just, like, the end result is, like, it's a soft hammer. Like, you know, and if you need it, that's a great thing to have. But it was just, like, the process of making it was so inspiring to think, like, you could do so many things. Are you looking at it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
Wow.
The thought of, like, being able to make the negative on the CNC, and then, I mean, he didn't use any special tools. He just used the casting sand and some wooden molds, you know? I don't know. It just was really cool. And I've seen Jimmy cast a bunch of stuff, and I'm always, like, I've never tried it. I'm always, like, really impressed, and I always want to try it. But when I saw that, when I saw that video, I was like, damn, this is, like, really shows, like, the potential, at least in my mind, of what you could do with, like, a CNC router and the ability to cast something like aluminum or brass or bronze or whatever. I don't know. You got to watch it, Derek.
I watch a couple of those casting guys, and it's amazing the shit they do.
Yeah. What's so cool to me is just, like, how low-tech it is. You know, it's, like, obviously he made the buck on the CNC, which is, like, very advanced, but, like, the idea of just, like, having that sand, that, like, red sand that you pack around it, and then you could melt down soda cans and make an ingot and put it in there. It's, like, so simple, you know? I don't know. Anyway, Paul, what have you been watching? You got some Metaverse content for us?
No, I don't have anything.
No?
I mean, not on the Metaverse. I mean, I was watching some stuff on – it's funny that Derek mentioned jewelry, because one of the last videos I watched was – somebody making, like, a 1 kilogram Cuban link necklace out of gold.
Yeah, he makes one of those too.
That's pretty crazy. A silver one.
It's amazing.
Wait, Paul, was it the guy in the wheelchair?
No, I think there's a couple guys making, like, these Cuban link necklaces.
Yeah, the other guy in the wheelchair. That's who I used to watch. He's unbelievable too.
It's amazing how rough they are,
Paul.
Yeah,
like they're using gold. Like, I use steel. Like, when you're blacksmithing, like, it's such a rough process up until the very end. Mm-hmm. Like, they're using wrenches. I'm like, God, I'm like worried. I'm like, they're scratching it. Then when they're gonna have to buff out the scratches, and they're gonna waste gold. It's like, but that's just the way they do it. It's like they have torches and they put it through rollers. Yeah. Like, they literally melt the gold down, pour it into a long skinny mold, and then take that and run it through those rollers that stretch it and stretch it into, like, a wire. Then they wrap the wire around a rod and then cut links out of that coiled up wire. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy how they do it. It really is. Like you said, it's so rough. They filing it down.
And, oh, yeah. And they put it on a piece of wood with that, like, wax or something.
Yeah,
pitch. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then they file a lot of the gold away. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, but that's just the way they do it. And then I've been watching a lot of videos about, like, watches and stuff, too. I'm into that nowadays.
That's it, dude. I wonder how much it'll cost to get a Rolex in the Metaverse.
Not sure.
Do you think a Rolex in the Metaverse is going to be, like, 10 times more than a Rolex in real life? Or, like, do you think Jimmy DiResta's Metaverse character is going to have a broken Rolex?
Jimmy should buy property in the Metaverse, and then all his people, you know, all these his fans would definitely spend a lot of money, like, buying plots from him. He should do something like that. But I don't know. I know Kevin O'Leary, like, is trying to make NFTs of rare watches, like, literally just pictures of watches, the guy from Shark Tank. But he was also saying, like, he's trying to get companies to, when they sell a watch to a customer, they also give an NFT of that watch, basically as, like, an authentication for the watch, which that's actually not a bad idea. Like, so you buy a watch, and you get the watch itself, and then you get an NFT from, like, Rolex or, like, Patek Philippe or whatever, and it, you know, that's how you authenticate the watch, and, you know, because there's a lot of fakes out there.
Yeah, that's
I follow this, like, fake watch buster thing on Instagram. It's funny, all the people buying, like, fake watches.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how many fake watches
there are. Oh, my God.
And when they point out the shit, it's, like, unreal. Like, it is. Odd it is.
It's crazy.
There's, so when you go, like, if you ever go to, like a, I mean, it's, I guess it is kind of Middle Eastern. So like, if you ever, like, I went to Turkey and there's a couple of markets in Turkey that sell like just fake shit, fake bags, fake jackets. And they have signs. I have photos of these signs that say genuine fake watches.
Genuine fake.
Genuine fakes. So like, you'll go in and they'll have like a Rolex for $200 and like everything will work, but like the date won't change, you know, like all this different shit.
Or yeah, it's
and,
like a quartz.
Yeah, wow, and they'll like take movement. Nothing for them, you know, like, and every now and then, like when I was in Turkey, I just like found a watch that I thought was like, I didn't matter what it was, like just a watch that I thought was cool looking and bought it for like $40 or whatever. As long as it tells time, I don't, you know, I wasn't buying it to like mislead anybody. It was so funny, like how much bigger the fake market is than the real market for this.
It's so hard to get the real watches, though. It's unbelievably insane. Like, I don't know. That's a much better investment than this metaverse shit.
Then get in the end, dude. Get it. Get in. Why don't you just get a little screen on your wrist that can show an NFT of a watch?
There you go. Well, you got an Apple Watch. You take the Apple Watch. You're right. And then you could use an Apple Watch to display an NFT of a Rolex.
That's now, see, now, you know what, Mr. Pinto, I think you're onto something. I think that was it. You just solved it. So
I don't know anymore.
Anyway, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. This is going to come out just a couple days before New Year's Eve. And I think I speak for everyone here at the Handmade Podcast, all of our staff, our writers, our producers in the background, you know, the copywriting agency, everyone that helps make
all
this show possible.
All the people that keep this going, you know.
Everyone that keeps this going.
The salespeople, the marketing department.
Oh, God. Yeah, thank God for Sue in marketing.
Yeah, Mabel.
Bethany in HR. Without these people and without you guys listening, what would we have except Derek, Paul, and I on the phone having the exact same conversations but without recording it? That's what we would have. But seriously, thank you to everybody that listens. It's been really cool to do the podcast this year. It's been a great opportunity for Paul and Derek and I to catch up once a week and bullshit, because we don't get to see each other nearly as much as we'd like to. And next year we want to bring some people on the show that we know and that we've spent time with and spoken to that, you know, are really interesting to us and think will be really interesting people to have conversations with, even if we are just bullshitting about nothing. I think that's going
to
be really
great. If there's somebody
great.
That they want to hear, let us know. Make, you know, send a message to the Handmade Podcast, and that way we'll ignore it.
Yes.
And, you know, and not get back to them.
Yes, but, that's right.
But, no, we'll try to get back to you. But yeah. If somebody wants to have a guest on, let us know. Maybe we
exactly.
Can
and if you'd like to be a guest on the Handmade Podcast and you have an interesting story to tell, let us know. Because, you know, I think that we should lower the threshold, because we make all of our guests pay us $25,000 to be on. But I think next year we'll take a little bit less. I got to talk to Roger over at the pricing department and make sure that our ads become a little bit more attainable, because we have to have
Well, now we only accept
on.
Ethereum.
NFTs, yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that. Well, we'll have to work it out.
It's 5 ETH to come on the show.
Exactly. So next year, we'll have our NFT line. We'll be only accepting Ethereum. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. I want to take a quick second to thank all of our patrons on Patreon. I don't know if anybody... people might not want their last names said. So I'm going to say the first names of all of our patrons and just say thank you to everybody. We got Chris, Keith, Bob, Brad, Kyle, Holt, Tom, Michael, Tom, Gordon, Stain, I hope I said that right, Stein Sohorse, sorry, David, Christy, hey Christy, how are you, thank you for listening, Steve, Peter, Dan, Jeremy, Glenn, and oh look, I'm a patron myself, wow.
I didn't realize we had that many patrons.
I know, what the
yes.
fuck are you doing
Holy
with all
shit.
The money?
We have Chris,
19 patrons. What
the hell's going on?
I want Seth over in fucking
accounting
department to take a look at this.
Yeah, well, that about does it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.